Hello and welcome into the Gotta Be Saints podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Gotta. Join me each week as I speak with future saints about being saints. Today's podcast is titled Saying Yes to God's Plan. I have with me David Patterson. David, how are you doing?
Not bad, man. How are you?
I'm good. This is part two of our conversation. If you haven't had a chance to listen to part one, I highly suggest it. David shared a little bit about his story, and then we also just went into scripture. We talked about the Annunciation. We talked about John 6. We talked about the resurrection. We talked about Peter at the fire. So many good things. We talked about Romans. Check it out. It was a great podcast. Highly suggest it. And David's awesome. Before we dive into this episode, I, of course, need to shout out our sponsors. That's the Catholic Company, one-stop shop for all your Catholic needs, rosaries, books, clothing. They've got it all. Use code GBS for 20% off your order. That's code GBS for 20% off your order. And, of course, I'd be remiss to not shout out Good Catholic, our other sponsor. They are a digital media company that provides digital series that you can use to grow in your faith. So check out Good Catholic. Use code GBS for 20% off your order. They have over 30 series. Really beautiful stuff. But now we're here for part two. And as I said, listen to part one to just kind of hear a little bit more about David's story, but also as we talked about scripture. I think both of us are very passionate about that as it was seen in that first episode. But now I just want to kind of ask more Q&A questions. And this episode will be a little shorter than the other one, but I hope that it's still impactful. So my first question to you is, why is saying yes to God's plan even important or more practically essential to our calling to be saints?
Wow, that's a loaded question, man. I don't know any other way than just rolling out the red carpet to the Holy Spirit and saying, thy will be done. I think that we are called to mirror Our Lady in the fact that she gave her first fiat. And as I meditate on the mysteries of the rosary and the coronation, she is crowned in humility. And how else to gain humility than to lay aside our will and say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. To actually model humility every step of the way. And I think that if you make that daily decision, that call that I said in the first episode, Luke 9:23, pick up your cross daily and follow me, that is making a conscious daily decision to follow the Lord regardless of come what may, trusting that he has the final say, that he is making all things new.
Amen. Yeah, I think the only thing I would say to that too is that, you know, if we really desire not even happiness, but if we desire peace in our life, it is deterrent, or it is based around our ability to be open and desiring to live for him. You know, That's not something we're doing. Our life will lack the peace that we want and seek. You can talk to anyone in the world, even the person who on paper looks like they've got the best life possible. There's something lacking there. And maybe they are happy at times. Maybe they're, you know, wealthy and have most things going well for them. But if you really dive deeper, they are lacking an inner peace that the poorest person who knows the Lord Jesus has. And I think, you know, I just, especially in today's culture with all the crap that's going on. I mean, I never in my short life experienced a time where we are more based around the feelings of a person that's the only thing that's important. And it's so sad. Because it's actually quite a negative. We've stopped caring about people's souls and we're more concerned about their, you know, how they feel about something. And so we've pushed truth to the side And I think, you know, in this calling to say yes to the Lord, his plan is essential. And sometimes that means, like you said, picking up your cross daily and carrying it. And so, you know, we all have inclinations to sin, but if you're somebody at home and you're listening and you struggle with the teachings of the church, or you struggle with, you know, believing certain things are bad or whatever, I really ask you to dive into why you feel that way, and then to just talk to the Lord about it. You know, we both talked earlier off camera that we're not very political, that we don't like to get into politics, and I'm not about to here. But at the same time, our church in certain parts of the world is fighting to change the magisterium, you know, to change what the church teaches, because there are people there who feel like it's oppressive. And this is the sad reality of a suffering church. And now I'll get off my soapbox, but I just needed to get up there just for a quick second. Okay. My next question for you is really going along with what we've just talked about. Let's get to those people who are struggling to trust God and his plan. Is there any bit of advice that you kind of, you know, especially as you work with, probably you encounter many students who are in this position. What's the advice that you often give them outside of course, just accompanying them and being there for them?
Yeah, I think it's been an ongoing journey in my own life, but if you're struggling in your relationship with the Lord, I actually met with a priest years ago where I was just unloading, you know, all of my brokenness and whatnot. And the priest just kind of said, buddy, you need to calm down for a second. Like, you need to slow down. And he just said to me that he went on an Ignatian spirituality retreat in the United States. And on the retreat, they were challenged to go to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and to kneel as close as you could to Jesus and just look at Jesus and say with your heart, Jesus, I want you to show me right now how you see me. Show me how you see me. And he said, when he went to that chapel, he witnessed guys who were like football players, like tough guys, literally sobbing like they were little boys. And I was intrigued by that when he told me that. So I said, Father, can I go to the chapel right now? Like, I want to have this moment with Jesus, right? And so I went to the chapel and I knelt down right after this meeting. And I said, all right, Jesus, you and me, this is our moment, right? And I said, show me how you see me. I closed my eyes. And immediately the Lord gave me this image of my little boy. And he was smiling, he was giggling, and the Lord just basically said, you know how you look upon your son, that's with love, that's exactly how I see you. And the next image, and this is where I'm going with it, the next image that the Lord showed me was my little boy learning how to walk. And he was stumbling, he was falling. And every time that my son would fall, as a dad, I just want to run to him so fast and pick him up and just encourage him to try again. And it was just such a powerful moment of prayer for me. And so fast forward years later, I was in confession and I was seated there and once again, unloading my brokenness, and the priest just looked at me and he doesn't know the story of, you know, how I asked the Lord to show me how he sees me, but he looked at me and he said, my brother, as a little child is learning to walk, do the parents scold the little boy when he falls? No. They say, it's okay, buddy. You get back up. You try again. And he said, every time the little boy rises, his legs get stronger. And then he's no longer wobbling about, but then he's walking and then he's running. And he said, the same goes with our spiritual life. He said, you're going to fall down. But he said, the difference between the sinners and the saints is the saints get back up and they keep walking. And our Father is our greatest encourager. You know, I did a podcast. I did an interview with Ryan Penny just the other day, and he said something so significant. He said, my father, God the Father, didn't just love me in my moments of suffering and pain. He actually cared for me. And I think that just holding on to the fact that God cares for you. And if you're struggling and you've fallen down and you feel this moment of despair, be not afraid, because Jesus is making all things new, and he really desires to take all that mess and bring beauty out of ashes. He's done it in my life, and he will do it for you too.
Interested in learning more about your faith? I invite you to check out Good Catholic. They are a digital media brand focused on sharing and teaching about the faith. From podcasts to blogs to digital series, Good Catholic has it all. Use the code in the show notes to get 20% off your order at Good Catholic. Well, you had me crying there for a second. It happened to be when the camera froze, so you couldn't really see it, but I was wiping tears. It's just beautiful. No, I think that imagery, I'm definitely somebody who's spoken to through imagery, and just the imagery of the child walking is just such a good one. And he just can't say it enough. He just loves us, and he just wants the very best for us. And so, you know, if you're struggling, I think your advice is perfect. Go sit with him. There's a story by St. Peter Julian Aimard, and I've probably shared this on here before, but his family couldn't find him. They were looking all over for him in town, and he was like 6 or 7. And they eventually found him. He was in the church, and he wasn't just in the normal pew. He was like up on a stool at the high altar right next to the tabernacle. And so afterwards, they, you know, they pulled him out, and they're like, "Peter, we were so nervous. We were looking for you. What were you doing?" And he's like, "Well, I was just sitting with my friend." And they're like, "What?" They're like, "Well, why were you up there?" And he goes, "Well, I want to be close, because I can hear him better if I'm close to him." And I just love that. I love that imagery of the little boy just being there. And, you know, I think of my own self, and how oftentimes I can be in the chapel and I can be so distant from who I'm in front of, you know. And it's a reminder to me to just, you know, dive into it and really try to, you know, recognize who I'm before. All right. I just have a couple more questions for you. I know we're getting short on time here. So let's talk about your ministry, your own work. What does that do, and what's the purpose, and how can people kind of learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, so I ended up launching Yes Catholic. It's interesting, because back in 2019, just to share a little bit of the story, back in 2019, I was sharing with my close friends, "I feel like God's going to have me start some kind of ministry." And they just flat out would be like, "Well, what is it?" And I would honestly be like, "I have no idea. It was amazing." You know, it's something funny about that, just like having no clue what God is doing, but something is put on your heart, you know? And so I ended up attending a retreat. It was a Salesian leadership retreat that was run with our school board. And I ended up getting a young person in my small group, grade 12, who was angry and didn't want to be there. He rolled his eyes at every question I asked and basically told me that he doesn't even know why the heck he's there. He said another word, but I'll just, you know. And the Lord just put on my heart to share with him, to talk with him after all the activities were done. And specifically, the Lord really put on my heart to share a story of a teen that was on retreat with me years prior. He had lost his sister in a tragic car accident. I actually knew his sister. And then fast forward, when I had my reversion back to the faith, he ended up on retreat with me and found so much healing and peace with God from this retreat. And so the Lord really put on my heart to share that story of how Matthew lost his sister in that accident when he was 10 years old, and how he found that peace with God. And so I shared that story with him. we sat down man to man, and I just said, I don't know why I have to share this story, but I feel called to share it. And at the end, I just said, so buddy, like, why are you so angry? And he looked at me and he said, I can't believe you just told me that story. And I said, why? And he said, because when I was 10 years old, my sister died. And I'm so angry at God. And the next day was a time of reconciliation. And he called me over and he said, can you please pray for me right now that I'll make my peace with God? And I just bowed my head and I said, Lord, I just pray that you give him the grace to come home. And right when I said amen, that door to the confessional opened and he said, I'm going in. And I said, yeah, man. And he walked out of the confession, just, you could see the light in his eyes, you know, that he made his peace with God. And I was just so overwhelmed by the fact that I just shared a story. You know, and I think Bible studies are really important. I think catechism is really important. But I simply just shared a story of another young person encountering the love of the Father. And that led to the ripple effect of the gospel, of another person coming home. And so I was driving on my way to work maybe 2 weeks later, and I was praying. I was saying my yes to God. And then Yes Catholic hit me and I felt the Lord's presence. And I said out loud in my car, I said, God, I like it. Like, I knew in that moment that there was something there. And what's really cool is that Matthew's dad ended up gifting me the one on retreat previously who lost his sister in the accident. His dad ended up gifting me an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe years ago, back in 2013. This is now 2019. And as I'm driving to work a few days later, I basically got real people, real stories, all grace. I pulled my car off to the side so I could do a voice recording because I didn't want to forget it. And months later, what's really cool is I realized that the day I did that voice recording was actually December 12th, the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe, which was pretty cool. And so the very first post I made on Instagram when I started the account was an open book. And it basically just said, it was blank. It was just an open book. And it said, are you ready to share your story? And I launched January 2020. I basically just started asking my friends, you know, I've been in ministry for years. I just started asking those who I've known in ministry throughout the years to share their story. And then every week going live on Instagram, I started getting messages from people all over the world, Australia, Rome, Ireland, Scotland, you name it, just saying, I have a story, or I know someone who has a story, and just gone from there. And so Yes Catholic exists to just share stories of people, ordinary people too, who have given their fiat, their yes to Jesus and his church. And recognizing that yes is not this one-time thing, but that it's that Luke 9:23, you know, living it daily, being this witness. And obviously we're broken, we're going to struggle, but highlighting stories of people who are truly striving to mirror Our Lady's yes to the Lord.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that story. And I think two takeaways that I'll say quickly for anyone who's listening at home. One, fear is real, and yet we cannot let it cripple us from what God wants from us, which is to be saints. I think everything you've talked about, you know, I find myself thinking about if you hadn't let fear operate in your life, you know, these encounters don't happen. Because you had the courage to go before these people instead of letting rejection, you know, stop you from sharing those stories. You said, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to do it and we'll see what happens. But it's in your yes that he was able to work. And then secondarily, just the importance of the Holy Spirit. You know, I went to a very charismatic college and I was involved in a lot of the charismatic stuff that took place, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the whole nine, and it's beautiful. And yet sometimes I feel like I don't really embrace that part of my spirituality as much as I should. And I think there's a calling to invite the Holy Spirit into your life in a real way every single day. And it can just be as simple as saying, come Holy Spirit, fill my heart. De Montfort, in the total consecration, one of the things he asks you to do is say a prayer to the Holy Spirit every single day. It's so good. So for those are two takeaways. I know we've talked now a long time between our two episodes, so I want to give you the chance for final thoughts. And then I have two quick questions for you, and then we can be done here.
Sounds good, man. So final thoughts?
Yeah, final thoughts.
I'm just going to repeat St. John Paul II because he is one of my favorite saints. At World Youth Day, he said to millions and millions of young people, dear young people, do not be afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ. You know, and it's that image in Revelation where Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And it's that gentle invitation. I love the paintings of Revelation because usually there's no door handle on his side. It's because it's on our side. We have to be the ones to reach for that door handle, and open it and say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Use me. You know, and I find that when you give that yes every single day, you will know what miracles are. I mean, I've just been so amazed by how God has moved just through a simple yes. It's honestly just an incredible adventure.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you. That was beautiful. And I think John Paul II is such a good example to teach in every one of us. So I ask these two questions to anyone who comes on the Gotta Be Saints podcast for the first time. So my first question for you, David, who is on your Mount Rushmore of saints?
Oh, man, I've got a lot of friends that I ask for my intercession on a regular basis, but my go-to, I was actually baptized at St. Therese of Lisieux Catholic Church. And so St. Therese keeps showing up pretty frequently for me. St. John Paul II, St. Faustina. I read the Diary of St. Faustina years ago, and I spent a lot of the time reading in an adoration chapel, and just an incredible, incredible read. I highly recommend it. Man, there's so many that I'm just constantly. St. Joseph has just been a powerful intercessor for me on a regular basis. And so I think those are my go-to right now, but definitely I have a lot of friends for sure.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well, my final question for you is, God willing, one day you'll be a saint. What are you going to be the patron saint of?
Man. I have honestly not really given this much thought, but I think, you know, I pray the rosary. I try to pray the rosary every single morning, and I conclude with a prayer to St. Joseph. And the prayer that's on my heart when I say that prayer to St. Joseph is that souls would just come to know the love of the Father through the platform. You know, even if it just gets one more to know the love of God, then it would all be worth it. I don't really know what that would be the patron saint of. I just have a heart of evangelization, man, because I've encountered the love of the Father and his healing and his grace in my own life. And I just want to share that with others.
And, maybe the patron saint of encounters.
I like it.
It's beautiful. Well, thank you so much, David. This has been awesome to get to talk to you. I feel like I could talk to you forever.
Yeah, man.
But thank you so much for taking the time to come on here. And I hope that, you know, if you're not following Yes Catholic, give them a follow and certainly check out his work. David, you're always welcome on here. Thanks, man. This is sponsored by the Catholic Company and Good Catholic. Use code GBS for 20% off your order. But thanks again. And to anyone at home, know of our prayers for you. God bless.
Thanks, man. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe and check out goodcatholic.com for more details.